Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Brian Boldinger, former NFL player, now NFL Network analyst. You can see all of his Baldy's breakdowns on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Browns, of course, facing the Broncos on NFL Network Saturday at 8:20 Eastern. And in the beginning, when there are a lot of national media members and some of them were skeptical about Baker Mayfield, one guy who was never skeptical about Baker Mayfield is Brian Boldinger. He loved him from the beginning, and you're looking awfully smart right now, Baldy. He looks great. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's good to be with you guys. You just had to be, you know, I mean, look, I'm never an advocate for coaches to get fired. I understand how hard that is, Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley. But, I mean, what Freddie Kitchens has done is he's built an offense for Baker Mayfield, and it makes a lot of sense. And they're adding some components to it right now. And, you know, he played great last week. He played great. The big plays that he made with that rifle of an arm that he has, I mean, this offense is jumping. You know, he's won four home games now in Cleveland in games that he's finished. And he's the guy that they drafted that they wanted him to be. He's that guy. And you just have to give him a lot of support and protection, and he can make every single throw that you need.
Can you believe, Baldy, that the Browns thought it was smart to not even let this guy compete for the job to start the season? How much of a joke was that?
You know what's funny? I have a friend of mine that writes for a national newspaper that's sitting in here watching film with me today. And I just said that to him. I said, the thing that made no sense to me about the Browns is exactly what you just said. And it was not any knock on Tyrod Taylor. But why would you draft a guy with the first pick if you thought that's the future and not let him compete? I mean, no offense to Tyrod. He's a great guy. He's a great leader. He's a great athlete. But he's never been a guy that was an accurate deep ball thrower. And the two bombs that Baker Mayfield unleashed on Sunday, including the first play of the game to Rashad Perriman and the one to Landry for a touchdown, I mean, those are elite throws. You got to, and Baker Mayfield has been making those throws since the day he stepped on the campus at Texas Tech. He's been making those throws. It's who he is. So you got to allow him to make those throws and attempt those throws. You have to build him into the game plan because he's got unusual deep ball accuracy, and he proves it when he gets those opportunities.
You know, Baldy, for years we've been talking about quarterback. I was saying something to somebody today. I was like, yeah, we're not going to be talking about a quarterback in the draft for another 15 years for the Browns, you know, knock on wood, everybody stays healthy. And, you know, coming into it, I always thought, like, okay, you just need a good quarterback, and it's not that big a deal that it's Cleveland. But, you know, I think I was wrong about that. I think there is something to the fact that there have been no successful quarterbacks here since Bernie Kosar. You're talking over two decades. Mm-hmm. And I think it was going to take a special guy to turn it around. And, and I think it's not just about talent. I think there's more to it with Baker and why he was the right guy to get this franchise going in the right direction. Your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. I mean, there's some guys that are just, you know, I mean, I'll use generic terms. They're puppets. They're milquetoast. They're company guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
And then there's Baker that walks on the field, and nobody's going to have more fun playing the game than Baker Mayfield. But he's also going to have fun off the field. He's also going to have some swagger to him. He's not going to be afraid to speak up. And you can see, I mean, you can see it on Hard Knocks this summer. Players like him. They want to be around him. So he celebrates a little bit. He dances a little bit. I mean, whatever it is, like, it's a good thing. It's fun to watch the guy play, but I think part of the fun is that he's having fun and you want to have fun with him. And so those fans are jumping in Cleveland right now. I mean, they haven't done that in two decades. He does it a different way, but I agree with you. You need a guy with some flair, some personality, somebody to just say, look, we have a chance here today, guys. He has all of that with him. And he's always been like that. When I watched him, I do Big 12 games on Saturday. When I go down the field there in Norman, and you see that guy running around, catching passes, throwing the ball behind his back, Like, nobody, the guy shows up on game day ready to have a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're partying in Cleveland right now, loving the fact that the Browns are 3-2 here since Hugh Jackson has been fired. You talk about Freddie Kitchens a lot, especially in your breakdowns. You love what he's been able to do with Baker, putting him in situations to have success. What do the Browns do here now? I mean, like, Freddie loves Baker. Baker loves Freddie. At the end of this season, I know we still have three games to go, but is there a case to be made that Freddie Kitchens should be kept on board?
Well, there is. You know, I mean, look, we have seen that in other cases where you keep, I mean, the Chicago Bears, you know, I mean, they're making changes at head coach, but they keep Vic Fangio. I mean, we see, and the Bears wouldn't be where they are without Vic right now. Now, they may lose him this year, but, I mean, you see cases where you keep one side of the ball, you know, in place, and then you hire whatever they want to do. I don't know, Greg Williams, or go outside and find somebody else, but I think it would be a mistake, whoever they hire, not to keep Freddie Kitchens. I mean, the offense works. It's what they need. Now, I don't know if the next hot guy that is out there as a candidate, whatever, can do the offense better than Freddie. But, I mean, I think he's a real candidate to stay in some capacity. And I don't know if Freddie's a head coach or not. I mean, I don't know those things. John Dorsey gets paid a lot of money to make that decision. So, but I would entertain the idea that whoever you bring in, let's keep this offense in place.
We're talking with Brian Baldinger of NFL Network. Again, Browns will play the Broncos, NFL Network, this Saturday, of course, 8:20 Eastern. You can hear it on The Fan, of course, as well. Baldy, let's talk about there's a number of great players besides Baker Mayfield that have really stepped up this year. Let's start with Myles Garrett on the other side of the ball. Had a couple of sacks this weekend. He's as good a pass rusher as we've seen in decades for the Browns. How high is the ceiling for this guy?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about Von Miller or Khalil Mack or Chandler Jones, you just go through a list of guys that, you know, can bring pressure off the edge consistently. You have to put Myles Garrett in that conversation right now. I mean, there's still three games to go. He's got 12 and a half sacks. I don't know the last Brown, I don't. I mean, maybe you guys do, that had 15 sacks or more, but he's going to be in that category.
Yep.
And those guys change the game. They change the game. They change the way you protect. They change how skittish the quarterback is in the pocket. I'm watching Jared Goff with Khalil Mack on the field right now, as a matter of fact, and he doesn't look like Jared Goff, who's in sunny California with, you know, throwing darts all over the field. He looks like a guy that can't wait to get the ball out of his hands. Mm-hmm. They changed the game. So Myles Garrett was drafted to be that guy. He wants to be that guy, and he's pretty close to being that guy right now, where every year you're going to look at the end of the season, and he's going to be in that 12 to 15 to 17 sack range. I think he's going to be that guy. It's not necessarily always about sacks either. I mean, just collapsing the pocket the way that he can with the unusual amount of power and lean that he has, it's going to open things up for a lot of other players.
Brian Baldinger is with us on the hotline. Brian, you have been high on Nick Chubb here, too, in Cleveland since they traded Carlos Hyde way back when. Smart decision by John Dorsey to open up the carries for Nick Chubb, and he, as a rookie, you know, another guy in the conversation could finish top five for Rookie of the Year.
Well, I never understood, and it was, again, no knock on Carlos Hyde, but Carlos Hyde is going to get you the yards that you create for him. He was averaging 3.5 yards a carry. That's who he is. Not enough.
Right.
But Nick Chubb is a guy, going back to his days at Georgia before the injury, after the injury, they couldn't tackle him in the national championship game. They couldn't tackle him or Sony Michel at Alabama. And all those NFL players in that roster, they couldn't tackle those guys. And when I didn't understand how he wasn't the starting running back from the beginning. I mean, the guy has juice. He's got power. And when you throw the ball to him, he catches it. I didn't understand why he wasn't competing for that job or he didn't have the job. Look, offensive linemen, there's sometimes you get a Joe Thomas and he's just an elite player. But there are, really, as you know, it's hard to find Joe Thomases. But you can win with what they have right now. Greg Robinson, you know, Joel Batonio. I mean, you go through the list of guys right now, and they're good enough up front. Treader, Zeitler, they're good enough up front to win. But Nick Chubb makes each and every one of those guys better than they individually are because he's going to find the opening. He's going to make your bad block look better. That's what great backs do, and that's what Nick Chubb looks like to me.
Baldy, you know, you mentioned the offensive line. The offensive line's done a much better job, especially the last 4 weeks, of protecting Baker. He's rarely been touched, was sacked this week, but has barely been sacked in the last 4 weeks. When you look at the sacks, how much do you talk about the coaching staff in terms of why they've protected better? Is it the switch to Greg Robinson? Is it Baker Mayfield kind of learning the NFL more? Is it just that they've played bad defenses the last 4 weeks? How do you account for the improved protection?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is formations. A lot of it is, you know, extra protection. And it's, a lot of it is play action and making the big throws on first down. Play action off of it and max protecting and protecting your quarterback. That's what they're doing with Andrew Luck in Indianapolis right now. You know, the last time that the other regime was in place was in Pittsburgh, and they chased Baker Mayfield all over the field at Heinz Field. They were in an empty set almost every single passing play. The Steelers blitzed the empty set every single play. And, you know, he was running for his life. Well, as soon as Freddie got in, they put tight ends on the field. They're playing two or three tight ends in all the early down formations. As long as they're not in third down, they're in a tight end-based formation. They got a fullback on the field, whatever it is. It's protection first. So that's a big part of it. Greg Robinson has played better than he probably has at any point in his career right now. That's a good sign. But sometimes you just take a Greg Robinson or a Rashad Perriman and you give them another chance in a system where you kind of play to their strengths and let them go to work and forget about, you know, give them a tabula rasa, just clean the slate. And, you know, give them a chance. And they're giving these guys a chance right now. They're playing better.
Hey, Baldy, just in terms of the coach search here in Cleveland, my top guy is Josh McDaniels. I want to see him get another chance. What do you think about Josh coming to Cleveland?
Well, we know that he has a great deal of ideas. I don't know that what happened in Indianapolis last year is going to hurt him. I think what might hurt, though, is whatever assistant coaches that he had on board, like, they're going to have a hard time following him. But I think everybody should have a short-term memory on that. I mean, just look at what he does week to week and how he's able to morph that offense and play to the strengths, play without Gronk, play without your right tackle, I mean, play without your running back, try wide receivers at running back. I mean, all those ideas that the Patriots do, I mean, he's got a hand in a lot of that stuff. And you need that creativity, and you need some of those things when players get hurt and how to protect certain weeks or when to just unleash, you know, a furious running game. I mean, I think Josh has all those ideas. So, I mean, I'd be interested to see Josh get a second chance. And whatever happened in Indianapolis last year, for whatever reason, you know, I would forget about that. But I don't know if the Patriots are going to let him out, you know, this time.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, you know, you do obviously Big 12. You talked about that. Lincoln Riley, Matt Campbell, a couple of guys getting a lot of talk about NFL jobs as well. Both connected to the Browns. Lincoln Riley, of course, because of Baker, and Matt Campbell's from Ohio. What do you think about those guys, both for the Browns and just in general in the NFL?
Well, I'm around Matt Campbell and a bunch, and I asked him about that when his name surfaced after, you know, Hugh was let go, and he just sort of scoffed at it. He goes, yeah, my name was mentioned, you know, when Urban Meyer was suspended, and he goes, if it gets any sort of traction, I'll have to address the team about it, but he thought it was kind of a lark. I talked to Patrick Mahomes about Cliff Kingsbury and about Lincoln Riley, and he thought both those guys could make the leap to the NFL, but he thought it wasn't going to be immediate. He thought both of them needed to adjust and learn the NFL game. And it can't just be about tempo. It just can't be about matchups. It has to be about a lot more than that. And he thought, I thought this was a really interesting conversation that I had with Patrick, but as much as they were successful at college and as much as they were successful with, you know, Baker or Mahomes, whatever, there's still a big jump. There's still a big learning curve, and you have to adjust. And I think you have to adjust as a play caller. I think you have to adjust to defenses that they're going to see, to an NFL style of where that's their job, to the NFL mentality. So I don't know that either one of these guys are ready to make just that big of a leap in that big of a position, even if it was just being a coordinator for Lincoln Riley. I think it's still a big leap.
Baldy, you know, we've seen overall for the season, offense has been so dominant, especially the Chiefs and the Rams and the Saints and a few other teams, but generally numbers are up. And all of a sudden in the last week or so, we've seen some interesting defensive performances, right? Last night, we had Seattle play really well against Minnesota. But most notably, you had the Cowboys against the Saints on Thursday Night Football last week. And then Sunday night, you had the Rams get shut down by the Bears. Those anomalies, and we're still going to have crazy, crazy offense? Or have these teams found something here at all?
No, I think it's a trend you're going to see. I mean, there's not enough great defenses. But I saw the Ravens shut out, not a shutout. I saw them keep the Chiefs to 17 points in the first 58 minutes of the game. I'm watching the Bears take apart the Rams right now. And I'm looking at good design. I'm looking at teams that have the ability to play sticky man coverage. I'm looking at teams that can get to the quarterback with front four. I'm looking at teams that can affect, you know, I don't care what the name of the back of their quarterback's jersey is. When they get hit and they have to move and they have to be hurried, they all look a little bit average, whether it's Breeze or Mahomes or, you know, Jared Goff. I mean, all of them can be affected. And so I'm looking at some really good designs with teams that have, you know, very good defensive personnel. And it can take these teams that are scoring, you know, the Chiefs were scoring 37 points a game, and they had 17 in the first, you know, 58 minutes of the game. But Patrick Mahomes got hit 15 times in that game by the Ravens. Wink Martindale did a great job. So the chess match between defensive coordinator and offensive play caller is the ultimate matchup in all these games in the last 3 weeks of the season and all through the playoffs. And I don't think you're going to see 54-51 shootouts in the playoffs. I don't think you're going to see it.
Baldy, last thing. We mentioned Rookie of the Year briefly before, but obviously Baker's had a great year. So has Saquon Barkley's put up ridiculous numbers, both rushing and receiving, for the Giants. How do you decide? I mean, I know it's 3 weeks, and maybe they'll change our minds, but how do you decide, if you had to right now, between those two for Rookie of the Year?
Well, no offense to anybody, but there's Saquon. Saquon, he has a chance. If they win out, he could be the player of the year, not just the rookie of the year. I mean, he might win the rushing title. I mean, I'm watching him go, you know, 80 yards or 75 yards for a touchdown, 51 yards, and nobody has more plays over 40 yards in this league than Saquon. And that was on a horrible team the first 6 weeks of the season. Now, if they win out and get to 8-8, I mean, he could win every single award out there right now. He could win the total scrimmage yards, rushing title. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to beat Saquon right now.
Baldy, fair enough. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, guys. You bet. Anytime, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.